Live from Hollywood, California, it's the 2014 Defocused Year in Review with your hosts, Dan Sturm and Joe Rosenstiel.
I don't think you know what live means, Dan. I don't think we can park here.
Why not? It's a great spot. We're practically right in front of the theater.
There are four signs with different parking restrictions. What if they listen to this during street cleaning hours?
Stop breaking the fourth wall. Look, Chris Pratt's driver parked right in front of us.
Why is he on the guest list?
He was in two of this year's Defocused episodes, and it's a year in review, so...
Oh man, we should probably steer clear of him after the Guardians and Jurassic World episodes.
We'll be fine, probably. The other Dan and Joe are doing the presentation, so we'll be in the booth.
Oh, I think they parked across the street. Can we park here? I don't...
Yes, now get over here.
Yeah, don't let the talent know who's boss.
But isn't that the same way you just talked to me?
Shh. God, it's so hot in that rental car. Why don't we have valet parking for this thing?
Get it together and put on your cummerbund.
Cummerbatch?
Your waist, Sherlock. Wait, why aren't you guys in tuxes? Because we don't hate ourselves?
Look, we're going up to the control booth. You guys head backstage and get ready to present.
Oh God, is that Chris Pratt?
Hey, focus. Presenter Joe, try not to make a mess on the stage. It's a rental. Presenter Dan, you're in charge.
Hey, why not me? Because you'll have a panic attack or start trolling the audience. Touche.
What a control freak.
Yeah, one Dan is bad enough.
Stage is this way, wise guy.
Wow, the Kodak Theater. Wait, where is everybody?
Oh, I think it's this door.
Oh, this is cozy. Well, it's time to start the music.
It's time to light the lights.
Wait, what the hell does that mean?
It's, you just... I was doing it... Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, your hosts, Dan Sturm and Joe Rosenstiel.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for coming out tonight. You, Chris Pratt, good to see you. Please don't ever listen to our podcast. We love you. It's just your movies.
Fans of Defocused have written in to tell us which episodes and moments they have loved and laughed at throughout the year.
It was really more of a half year. This is just the end of the calendar year.
Thank you, Joe. It takes a special kind of banter between hosts to...
Whoa there. I think you're supposed to say banter.
Well, I'm just reading what's up there.
Fine. Tell everyone about the special banter between us.
Maybe I will. Anyway, the people have selected the following clips. Episode 3, Leader O' Coffee.
Of course, made the trip to Handsome Coffee, your favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that on your... You actually geotagged a tweet.
Yes. I wasn't sure if you'd pick up on that one with the... Hashtag leader of coffee.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understood leader of coffee.
Oh, that was from one of our recording failures where we had discussed the fact that you were telling them however much coffee they had put inside of your coffee wasn't enough coffee for you. So whatever amount of coffee it was, but then I had cracked that joke that you were just like...
Yes, it was me being man who salts his food before tasting it guy, mm-hmm. which I am not.
Yeah. Man who... puts more espresso inside of his coffee before tasting.
Yeah, you will be happy to know that I win.
Episode 5, Shane Burrito. Okay.
I also joined a gym too, so I'm on both ends of the spectrum in terms of laziness and getting out of my house.
I have a gym membership to a gym that is a block and a half from my apartment.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how often I've gone?
I'm going to go with zero.
No, it's more than zero.
No, one?
Less than the number of fingers you have on your hand, but more than zero.
Are we talking Princess Bride hands or regular hands?
Regular hands.
Regular hands.
I would have qualified that with Princess Bride hands.
Hmm. Well, predicting that I would have similar problems, I joined one of those 24-hour gyms that have no staff, so you can just sort of like swipe a little card and go inside whenever you feel like it.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, I'm, you know... awake at all hours of the evening, and I don't like people. So I can go whenever I want.
Oh, but you're not... Have you gone yet?
Oh, I mean, I only signed up like 2 days ago, but no.
Well, So you signed up, and it's been 2 days, and you haven't gone once.
It was the weekend.
Did you sign up and not even exercise, or was it one of those sign-ups where you go in to exercise on your free trial and then sign up at the end of it?
To be honest, I was out to lunch, and they closed in like 15 minutes, and I'd been putting off signing up for a while, and I was literally driving right past it, so I just swerved in there, hit the brakes real fast, ran in and signed the papers, and ran back out right before the guy who does the sign-ups left.
So you were out eating.
Yes.
Late in the afternoon.
And clearly I felt guilty about what I had just eaten.
Uh-huh. Which was?
Oh, gosh. Probably a burrito. I don't remember.
Shame burrito.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it all adds up now.
Episode 5, Beat It.
Yeah, just, you know, I'll just run across the street and get my turkey bacon avocado sandwich.
Oh, no, it's not across the street. That's actually a drive.
Got to go out of your way to get that one.
Yeah, and I went out of my way to get today's beverage.
Which is?
Beet, apple, carrot, lemon, ginger. Cold press, raw organic juice.
Are you just using the bionic name generator for beverages?
No. Man, what would that be? Backlug? Who's named Backlug? It's one of those things where it's like, it's so hard to explain to other people because it's offbeat. Speaking of beets, this juice does actually taste like beets.
Oh god, beets are disgusting. It tastes like dirt.
Yeah, so it's kind of like dirt juice.
Do you like to punish yourself with these beverages, or do you genuinely like the taste of these strange things?
Well, sometimes there's a good flavor to it. Hey. It's just kind of, this one in particular just really does taste like beets and ginger.
I'm not a fan of beets.
Yeah, I mean, it's got stuff in it, and it's good for you. So that's great. Although I didn't notice at the time I bought it that on the labeling for it, there is a manifesto, as in manifesto, but with fresh in it. And it's a registered trademark, by the way. So make sure you don't actually use manifesto yourself. And they have another pun that says upbeat. B-E-E-T.
I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm one who likes my terrible puns, but you guys, come on.
I suppose come we on. Don't. With every product, we don't have to be buying into a brand when we buy a product. But I think we're so used to it in the technology world. You can't ally yourself with this brand who has such terrible puns and copy on their product.
A brand is a promise.
Stop saying that. I don't even know what that means. I don't know why we're talking about this. Just more about coffee and hashtags.
And beet juice. God, this is going to be a slog to get through this beet juice.
Episode 9, Editing the Fifth Element.
This is it's a future that is completely absurd and bright and colorful, but it's still dirty and broken and messy. And I don't want to call it believable, but it's a world that I can buy into and I enjoy watching it. But yeah, it's completely insane. But one thing I wanted to mention, directly contrary to American Hustle, is the editing in this movie is great. I really enjoyed. He does a lot of intercutting between different scenes where they're like completing the same story, where, you know, characters are talking about the same thing in different places at different times, and just cutting back and forth to hear different bits from different people and, you know, inform the audience that way. And I thought that used, what, like 3 or 4 times was really well done.
Yeah, and especially in some of the more complicated scenes where they're cutting between 3 different storylines that are occurring simultaneously.
Right, like the people trying to steal the stones, the fact that they hid the stones somewhere else, and like where they actually are.
Mm-hmm. And it makes the comedy of that situation really work in that first scene where Zorg is introduced and he's with the Mangalore and they're, you know, giving him the case and he opens the case and we cut to Lulu laughing, you know, because they're not there. It calls really into question why the Mangalore wouldn't look inside the case, but it is funny, you know, not 1 or 2 or 3, but 4 stones, 4. Episode 12, Blanket Fort Sweat Lodge.
Do I sound better? I have built, a very ramshackle, sort of fort out of, blankets and, random, posts and a portable clothing rack to deaden the sound in my office.
That sounds like fun.
I'm kind of like in a little tent here that I made.
You sound exactly the same, by the way.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, the best part about this is that it's a free sweat lodge because you've wrapped yourself in blankets in Arizona in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So,
there's no airflow in this office when we do these things anyway. So
yeah, might as well make it worse.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much else you could do to make it worse. I will leave it to the audience's imagination to decide whether or not I'm wearing pants. But you know, there's that. Episode 15, School Mascots. I assume they still have a football team. Good old Fighting Artichokes.
I'm sorry, what?
We were the Artichokes.
I'll repeat my question. I'm sorry, what?
The film school I went to was in Scottsdale, the Scottsdale Community College. It was the only film school in Phoenix when I went. And yeah, Scottsdale Community College's mascot is the Fighting Artichoke. They have a guy who walks around in a big artichoke suit.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah, it's fascinating is what it is.
My school had a mascot, but we didn't have any sports at all, whatsoever to speak of. But some donor had decided the school ought to have a mascot, so she donated money on the condition that the school adopt a mascot, and so it was Rembrandt the Armadillo. So we had that. I mean, no person was walking around in an armadillo suit or anything, but ostensibly, there was armadillo stuffed animal plushies you could buy at the bookstore to represent.
That's fascinating. See, and
Episode 15, Brain Overclock, Underclock, So What?
Yeah, my brain's not working full speed. I mean, even on a good day, it's not full speed, but you know.
Well, what percentile of your normal speed is it running?
Simultaneously, probably 50 and 175.
Okay, so you've got multiple cores.
Yes. One of them is going too fast and it is producing a bit of like a burnt rubber smell, and the other part is just like throwing its hands up in the air saying, I give up.
So overclock and underclock, you know? Am I too close to the metal right now?
Over under, yeah, doing an over under,
yeah. One goes under, one goes over. So what?
So what?
Oh boy,
what are we even doing?
I don't know. I never know what we're doing.
Episode 17: Eating the Social Engagement Platform.
I'm still really happy that we got shameburrito.com. I think we need to do more with it.
You know, I had a burrito today. I was just in a hurry. I didn't get a chance to take a picture of it. I was going to do like a half-eaten picture, but I consumed the burrito instead. I'm sorry.
Damn, I'm very disappointed in you. That was our whole social engagement platform, just burritos.
That was the whole platform when I ate it.
You couldn't stop yourself from eating our social engagement platform for 1 second.
Episode 18, Singing Telegram Fan Fiction. Singing Telegram. They don't do that anymore, do they?
No.
Is that a thing? When did that stop being a thing?
I have no idea.
They didn't even let her get the whole message out. Like, what was the telegram?
Well, that was the funny part.
I wanted to know what she had to say. I'm just thinking, like, to place that order for her services, somebody had to send her money and something to go sing at this place at this time. And I want to know what they sent and what she was going to sing. I want the deleted scenes from the director's cut that tells me what the singing telegram was.
I don't think there were going to be any scenes for that, Dan. I think that is what they call a MacGuffin.
You write fan fiction. You write it then.
I'm not writing fan fiction for the dead telegram girl in Clue. Episode 19, Dirty Aladdin.
Maybe it's just that I'm not huge on musicals, which I'm not sure that I could name another musical that I've seen. I know I have, but
pretty much any Disney cartoon is a musical, Dan. I watch
a lot of Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
Aladdin. Aladdin's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Substantially less lingerie in Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does show her the world, though.
In that movie, it's more literal than figurative, though.
I don't know. Those dirty Disney animators.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. That's all conjecture though, because it was misinterpreted or something, right?
Maybe. Yeah, it was definitely a magic carpet ride. Wink, wink. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
That's
enough of that.
Yeah, you're ruining children's movies for people.
Mm-hmm. Episode 19, Post-Traumatic Florida Disorder.
Clean Dan.
Clinton, I could probably use a shower. It's a little warm in here. I love it. Still, nothing makes you more uncomfortable than saying I get sweaty when it gets hot in my office.
Yes. Just gross. I don't want to know. Ugh.
Is it just your Florida past that, like, sweat makes you so uncomfortable?
Maybe it is, Dan. It's my post-traumatic sweat disorder. I have no idea. I just don't care.
Post-traumatic Florida disorder?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of problems with Florida.
Yeah. You probably can't be blamed for something like that.
Mm-hmm. For being blamed for Florida? All of Florida?
No, for having post-traumatic
my
Florida
bad,
disorder.
Guys. Florida's all my fault.
Episode 19, Rocky Horror Dancing Joe.
I don't participate in any way in any of the theater things because I don't want to be around people. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to stand up in my apartment and sing or dance along to parts of this movie.
Episode 19, Rocky Horror Fantasy Draft.
Yeah. Oh, another thing. I was like fantasy casting. Like draft style, I don't know, like different people, different podcasters to be the different characters of this. Like if you were going to like stage an audio version of this using only the podcasters that are around, like who would you cast? And I think I would cast Matt Alexander as Frank, Dr. Frankenfurter, of course. And I think I would cast Mike as Boswick's character. And I don't know who I would pick for Susan Sarandon, but it might be Serenity Caldwell. But I'm sort of stumped with everyone else. I mean, maybe Dr. Scott is either Stephen Hackett or John Siracusa. It's a bit of a toss-up. And I don't know who to pick for Rocky, but maybe Casey. But I don't really want to pick Casey. I would like to pick somebody else, but I gotta do some more research, I guess.
No, I'm definitely gonna side with you for Syracuse for the doctor. Mm-hmm. Rocky's a tough one. You need sort of an unobtrusive heavyweight of a character who can stand his own in those scenes but not get in the way.
But he doesn't really need to actually stand because he it would be audio.
Sure. No, I get you. Maybe like an Andy Natko or something.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, Snell's likable.
Yeah, but I don't think I would guess Snell is Rocky Horror. I don't know. I gotta think about that.
Anyone have that sort of Tarzan, George of the Jungle vibe that we know on the podcasts?
Jason Seifer from IRL Talk? Is it Seifer or Cypher? Or, I don't know.
Either way, but I don't know where you connect those two dots.
Or maybe Merlin, if it's just audio only.
Because he lives way out there in San Francisco, which is just like the jungles of Africa.
What? No? Because I mean, he's a reanimated numbskull person. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. Okay, let me try to rephrase that.
Episode 19, Truman Show of Hipster Coffee Shops.
You did in a sort of roundabout way reach back to some of our not follow-up that I wrote down here. Yeah, I too
they
did,
call that a reach around.
Moving past that, I did go to a new coffee shop this weekend in Scottsdale that had really, really surprisingly good ratings, which mean nothing because I think Starbucks gets like a 9.4 Yelp rating around here. But it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. It was like the Truman Show of hipster coffee shops because the barista, this dude, had superb hipster mustache and glasses that were clearly not prescription and giant sink stoppers in his ears and a funky hat and this and that and all the clothes. But you know how like a good coffee shop will sell you like a like
the equipment for making your own, like a pour over or a burr grinder or something, their little display had like the things that you find at like Target. It was like what is that terrible brand? Just like the stuff that you find in SkyMall in terms of grinders and coffee makers. And it was the weirdest, like, fake, like, it has to look like a coffee shop, but not really know anything about coffee. And it was just full of, obviously, people in there looking at Facebook. But it was incredibly off-putting.
So they were just, like, trying too hard? Were you a poser coffee shop?
Trying too hard, not in the wrong way.
Not as sophisticated as Where You Bean?
Where You Bean is at least right up front. They're like, yeah, we bought all this stuff at IKEA and Walmart, so you know that couch is kind of comfortable over there. But this place,
and we still do Cash for Gold,
right? Episode 19: Yosemite Puffy Paint. Do we have a button that makes like a quacking noise?
No. Well, it's really hard to set up the sound stuff, and then the function keys would need to do things, and I'd have to have stickers or something. I'm not managing that.
Yeah, I can't write on my keyboard with a Sharpie because my keyboard is black.
Yes.
Well, I guess they do make silver Sharpies.
Well, I mean, or you get some of those the gel ink paint pens. Puffy paint. Remember
puffy
those?
Paint. Glitter paint and puffy paint.
Yes, yes. And you could do the thing with where you dot the both of the ends of the letter, so that it has like little circles on every little corner of every letter.
It's like the 14-year-old girl's version of serifs.
I know, but wouldn't that be charming? I think Johnny Ive should get on that. Right. I think instead of you, just throw Yosemite out. Just throw the whole thing out. Just do it over again with puffy paint.
Episode 21, Grapes of Wrath. Because... Oh, I know. That's just people from Oklahoma.
Grapes of Wrath.
You can't just say Grapes of Wrath like you made some intelligent reference to it just by putting the name in there.
Well, I did, because you said people from Oklahoma, and they used to call them Okies because they would come out from the Dust Bowl. And...
At least, like, make a Tom Joe joke or something, so people have to, like, make one step in their brain before they realize how smart your joke was.
Well, they're already going to have to make a big step, because I doubt anyone even knows the Grapes of Wrath, because I don't even think that's required reading anymore.
Well, I mean,
the education system is letting all of our children down.
People probably know that Ghost of Tom Joad song from Rage Against the Machine. That could be their way into that.
Dan, we're not really trying to make this a maze where people can't get into the center of the maze.
No, see, if you trust the audience and you make them work a little bit, they appreciate the outcome. That's how smart writing works, I think.
Okay. Well, audience, one of these hosts gives you the cheese, and the other host gives you the electric shock. So
I'm not giving people.
Episode 27, a Joseph Shatner Christmas song.
Any other thoughts on Elf or general holiday-related things before we close up shop for the year?
Yes, one thought. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
You can't say that, neither can I, because you live in California and I live in Arizona.
But it's raining a little.
It's slightly gray here and in the mid-60s, but it doesn't look anything like Christmas.
Yeah, the mid-60s is kind of cold, though. Let's be real.
Episode 27, French Onion Maple Soup. Okay, on waffles, how do you serve? Do you fill every little indentation on top of the waffle, or do you just sort of like haphazardly sprinkle a little bit on?
Fill every indentation on the waffle, because otherwise you don't have syrup on your waffle.
Okay, good.
Of course.
That's the correct answer. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, I know, but I don't then proceed to fill up the plate with maple syrup so that it's just floating like a raft in it. I don't use the maple syrup quantities that
you make, like
Buddy
the waffle
uses.
The waffle and maple syrup equivalent of French onion soup.
It's just
a bowl of syrup and a floating waffle on top, and you can melt some cheese on top or something.
And then you take your spoon and you crack through the waffle to the syrupy goodness on the inside. Ugh.
It'd also be great if it was searing hot, just like the soup.
Oh, God. Ugh. Ugh. So, yeah, thanks, Dan. Thanks for that
You're welcome.
Horrifying thought. So
I'm just, you know, spitballing ideas. We could potentially monetize the French onion soup. We need a name for it. We need a better name than French onion soup waffle syrup thing.
Wait, wouldn't it just be maple waffle soup?
Yeah, I'm good with that. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I thought you were initially talking about needing to monetize our own brand of maple syrup.
There's a lot of competition in the maple syrup market. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure there's room for us.
Well, maybe we can get like a tax subsidy or something for our Canadian maple syrup production. But
genuine North Pole maple syrup?
Uh-huh. It's not, but yes.
Do they have maple trees in the North Pole?
No, because that's too cold. They just don't have trees up that far. I don't know if you're familiar with the Earth. But
I mean, parts of it. I know I live in a desert, and I have for 30 years, but I like to think I know what the Earth is, you know, at least shaped like.
Okay. Well, there's a certain point where trees can't grow anymore because it's too cold. Yes.
And you're saying that's somewhere in or around the North Pole.
Might be further away than you think. And the winner is... Episode 27, French Onion Maple Soup.
Sometimes this audio medium needs visual accompaniment.
What? Like now? Where are we supposed to get cameras now?
No, I mean the show art, guest art, that stuff.
Oh, well, that's no contest.
But why did you just throw away the envelope?
Because the winner's Frank Towers! Not a real name. For his Shame Burrito branding work. Now to recognize an outstanding achievement in editing on this podcast.
Yay! I win!
Shut up, you don't even know what episodes it's for. It could be, you know, I could still win. that was a good laugh. The winner for best editing in a podcast is...
Clue! And now, a word from our sponsor. Ugh, could Dan be sweating any more on that stage?
Maybe no one will notice this flop sweat.
Are you eating a burrito? We aren't serving any food.
Remember when I went to the bathroom? I didn't go to the bathroom.
Where's it from?
I don't want to say.
That's a Chipotle burrito, Joe. I can smell the shame from here.
Aren't you supposed to be switching back from the commercial?
Don't try to change the subject.
No, literally, right this second. I think the commercial's ended.
Shit! Minions! Switch back! Switch back! Lights!
Thanks to our sponsors. Without them, this lucrative endeavor would not be possible.
There's one thing that Defocused occasionally does that really switches things up.
You mean when we like something?
No, I mean when we have guests.
Do we like our guests?
Of course we like our guests.
And now Sarah McLachlan with a montage of guests that are no longer with us.
They're all still alive, they just aren't on the show.
Oh, so no Sarah McLachlan.
No. Mike Hurley joined us to talk about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. In my mind, a day in the life documentary about what you do and how you do it would be fascinating.
It really would, because it's so weird. Like, I sometimes feel bad for the people that listen to my shows, because typically people listen to, like, semi-popular technology shows to hear people that really know what they're doing talk about their stuff, and then I come along and I'm like, no, I don't back up anything. Or like, for example, I don't know how I have so much Dropbox storage space. Or terminal, I don't know of which you speak. Or, oh, I accidentally changed it to Hazel script and now all of my photos have moved around. Like, I feel like sometimes I don't understand technology. I feel like I understood technology a lot more before I started podcasting.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I have a lot of those same problems. I just don't publicize my neuroses because people would chastise me.
But then the problem is my so-called co-hosts and friends publicly treat me like I'm an idiot, which only adds to increase this notion that I am, in fact, an idiot.
Well, it's a good thing Joe likes you because he's very good at making us feel like idiots.
Yeah, but Joe, you also stick up for me.
I do the hashtag Team Mike.
Yeah.
I never got a hashtag. You just make fun of me.
Well, maybe you should be more like Mike, and then that wouldn't really be a problem, huh, Dan?
Well, we've already discussed. I have a terrible accent, so I can't be.
No.
I feel like I'm starting to live for the Joe Steele Twitter fave.
Really?
It fills me with a great sense of achievement whenever I see that. Whenever, don't favorite everything now.
But it does. I do favorite everything. So it's like, You feel like you've achieved something like 8 times a day?
It's pretty much a constant sense of achievement.
The man needs something to cheer him up after he ruins his Halo script.
I'm not gonna remind you that there's so many of them, but yes.
It's nice. It's nice. Like, yes.
We comforting. Get sad and we notice when you go on vacation, Joe. You don't fave as much.
Yeah. No, that's because I'm baking in the desert sun.
See, this movie, like saying about Edgar Wright's style, is what makes me so sad that he's not making Ant-Man. Is because this movie shows why a comic book movie he's so perfect for. Because basically what Edgar Wright did was he created a comic book movie in the purest sense of a comic book movie, is that it felt like a comic book whilst you were watching it. And because that's the way that he edits, right? It's these fast edits and these fast cuts. So it feels like you're going from panel to panel in a lot of instances. And that's why I really wish that he was doing at least a Marvel movie now. And I keep referencing to, in case anybody doesn't know, he was going to be directing Ant-Man, and he's now not directing Ant-Man.
And Casey List joined us.
Month and a day ago, I went to my 22nd Dave Matthews concert.
Holy crap. I was going to let all the Dave Matthews Band stuff go and just be like, okay, I'll let Dan get it out of his system and then we won't talk about it anymore. And then all of a sudden you just said 22nd concert? Oh my God.
Yep. Every time it's different. Don't let Marco tell you otherwise.
Yeah, you might have a problem, Casey. You might need to seek some help for that.
Oh, I have bad taste in music, but Marco has colossally bad taste in music. So yeah, I still have that going for me.
I think he's like gleeful about his bad taste in music.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is very true.
I can respect that. Yes, I do agree with you that I would probably rather listen to Dave Matthews Band than the Fish stuff or Criss Cross, Gonna Make You Jump stuff.
Man.
Yep.
It's all right. I'm not going to pretend like I have the greatest taste in music. We talk about it all the time, how I love terrible pop music, and so do you, Joe. So I'm going to out you.
Oh, yeah.
Such as? Such as what?
Oh, I don't know. Kesha, Katy Perry, all that terrible poppy stuff.
That is pretty terrible.
Oh, do you like Pitbull, Casey?
No. Goodness, no.
Because I listen to Pitbull.
No, it's
just
the worst.
Just to give you some perspective.
So really what we've learned is all of us have colossally bad taste in music. It's just a matter of in which direction.
But it's our colossally bad taste, and it's what makes us who we are. Yeah. Isn't that really what podcasting is all about? Getting down to the who we are.
My friends and I, when we were back from college, I want to say this was the summer of 2001, we went to Manhattan just to goof off and screw around. And we noticed at 1515 Broadway, which is MTV Studios, there was this huge line, just enormous line. We had no idea why. And it was, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think TRL started at like 3 or something like that at the time. And so one of my friends, who is extremely outgoing, Spencer, he took it upon himself to investigate what was going on. And nobody really knew in line. They just knew that something cool was going to happen, and everyone else was convinced that something cool was going to happen, and they all just started lining up. And so we were like, well, screw it. Let's get in line. So we end up getting ushered into the studios, and we had to like empty our pockets of cell phones and stuff like that, which was kind of funny because this is the era when they probably told us to empty beepers and cell phones. That's how long ago this was. And we get ushered into the studio, into the TRL studio, and come to find out that the gag for this particular episode of TRL was that this woman, a recording artist, Willa Ford or Williford or something like that, who nobody has ever really heard of.
I've heard of her. I wanna be there,
make that look so good. She was, if memory serves, she was on the street in Times Square with like this whole mob of people. And then Carson Daly was in the studio with his own audience full of people. And the gag was that they were like competing in trivia or some like silly trivia game. And if Carson's group didn't answer enough questions, or if Willa's group answered more questions right, what have you, they would switch. And so all of the people in the studio would go outside and Willa's group would come in and then they would all get served New York pizza. Well, to actually switch those studios would take way too long. So we come to find out as we're getting handed pizza that we didn't earn that we were, quote unquote, Willa's outside group. So she comes running in by herself, ditches all the poor people down on Times Square. Gosh only knows where the people that were in the studio were told to go. They were probably told to kindly go screw off. And we got served pizza in the TRL studio and we're on TRL. And so the same outgoing friend of mine was asked if he wouldn't mind like doing a shout out or something like that during a video. And so this guy who is like he's a 6'3" African-American dude ended up having to do a shout out for a Sum 41 video, which was hysterical to say the least.
Wait, and so is this where they would do the thing like in the middle of the video, they would pop up a little box and be like, yo, what's up to my friends back home?
Yeah, exactly. And so if you look, and I have a videotape of this, but I don't have a VCR to play it in. If you look there in the background, there's me and a couple of friends of mine on MTV on national television in 2001 or so.
Just eating your shameful stolen pizza.
That's exactly right. And if memory serves, the pizza wasn't even that good, but still, we didn't even earn it. And yet we got to eat it.
Oh, MTV is full of lies.
Full of lies, I tell you.
Lies and pizza.
Lies and pizza.
And Stephen Hackett joined us to talk about Pirates of Silicon Valley.
So this movie, what in the world? Like, okay, so I hadn't seen it in a while.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as good as I remember it.
No, I have to agree.
When this suggestion came about, I thought it was because you really liked this movie and that's why you wanted to talk about it.
I think that I thought I liked this movie. And like, I don't know. It's fine. It's just, it suffers from like poor acting and some weird edits. And like Steve Ballmer is talking to a picture frame at some point. Like, I don't know.
There are a great many, many problems with this. First of which is probably the year they made it. 1999 is not really the best year to make this movie, you know, because in your plot, it just kind of stops.
Yeah. Jobs is back. The iMac is out, depending on when in 1999 it is.
Maybe they thought that was a big enough point that they could, you know.
I guess. It's a TV movie, too. I'd forgotten that. Yeah. It was for TNT. Like,
I remember watching it on TNT when it first came out in June, apparently. I forgot the month and I had to look it up. But in June of 1999.
You were like six.
I was 16. So I obviously had terrible taste because
I
really liked it.
You were 16 in 1999?
Yeah.
You're older than me.
Oh, yeah.
This is weird. Anyways,
well,
please continue.
See, that's one of those things where we're older, but we're not grown-ups. So it is a good thing you're
thing.
Here.
That thing again. It's just, it's cheesy, right?
Oh, like super cheese.
And so here's my problem. So this is what I have. So I told you guys earlier, I have 7 pages of notes. So this is my field notes notebook, and that's the
part. Oh, good. I was worried it was like 8.5 by 11 sheets, and then we would be really in trouble.
No, I'm a hipster, so I've got a pocket notebook. So here's my theory that I have come with. Right. Yeah. So I've watched this movie in the past. I watched it with my wife years ago, and she refused to watch it with me last night in preparation. She was like, "You can sit here, but you have to have headphones on." I was like, "Oh, okay." And her reaction years ago was like, "I didn't know Steve Jobs was a jerk." Like, and Pirates of Silicon Valley portrays him as a jerk. And of course, there's lots of stories about like how he kind of was a jerk, and that's probably true to a degree. But I think you're right. I think it's like it's a very like A to B sort of relationship. Like things go crazy with his girlfriend and daughter, and he like gets in a fight at work with an engineer.
Yeah, it doesn't help that they go from scene to scene. Like he argues in the parking lot.
We have to fade between black. You know, it's like, so you know time has passed. It's like. Oh, I'm going to say something great. Oh, it's black. Oh, no, it's black. Oh. Next scene.
Got to get those commercials in there.
Yeah, but the character that really bothered me was Balmer.
You mean Bender from Futurama?
Yeah, so I have in here, we first see Balmer. His first comment is about Playboy magazines and what young men do with Playboy magazines. And that's like cut to right after we see like Steve Jobs like dancing in India, having like a spiritual experience. So you have like Jobs, like this like hippie, like troubled soul. And then you have Balmer, who's like a jock, who's dumb, who's like a big oaf. And like Balmer kind of is a big oaf, right? Like developers, developers, developers.
Yeah, but he's an idiot in this movie. Yeah, like the biggest idiot you've ever seen.
And Balmer, like, this isn't the show for it, but like, Balmer sort of screwed up at Microsoft in a lot of ways, but Balmer is not dumb. Like, he made some judgment errors, but Balmer's a super smart guy. Like, you don't get to run Microsoft for that long and not be a smart guy. And all throughout it, Balmer's like, "Oh, you need software to, like, make the lights come on." Like, "Oh, look at me. I ran to a wall." Like, what? Like, why? Like, it's such a simplification.
The introduction to the entire Microsoft team in this movie is just like, first of all, they're at Harvard, but all they're doing is gambling and talking about chicks and looking at Playboy and comparing which one was hotter. It's like, you're at Harvard, and this is how you choose to represent them. And Balmer is just the biggest, and not to mention the fact that he's an idiot, but he's like, the other Microsoft guys are just yelling at him constantly. Like, "Balmer, shut up. Get out of here. What's wrong with you?" Like, I bet he would have screwed up Microsoft intentionally just to get back at him for being dicks in college.
Yeah, he's like, "Ship Windows now." And he's like, what do you want from me? Like, I can't make magic happen. But again, like that's sort of the problem with this movie, is that it's very two-dimensional. Like, they have the scene where I think Woz is talking, because Woz is basically, you know, there's Woz is the narrator and Balmer is the narrator. They're both like the number two guys. And at one point, Woz is talking about, like, we were young, we were doing crazy things. And it's a voiceover to when Gates and I guess Alan are the kid. Are driving like the bulldozers, like racing the bulldozers, and they hit Alan's car. And it's like, that's the only explanation we get of like Bill Gates does crazy things. Like,
yeah, he's a sociopath trying to explain why exercise is bad, speeding around eating pizza, and then he just sees two bulldozers and is like, "Hey, let's go for a ride."
Yeah, like he's drunk or high or crazy.
Just flat out like sociopathic, psychotic. There's this person I wouldn't trust with a driver's license.
Right, but like there's no reason for that. Like, and even with Jobs, like there's a little bit of like, "Oh, I want to meet my mother and I'm a terrible father," but like they don't ever connect those two things. Like, it's like, "Oh, I'm sad about my mom," but then that goes away. Like, we never hear that line again.
He hired a private detective, like, that we'll never hear about.
Yeah, and then he's like, you know, kind of like a jerk to his ex-girlfriend, and like, but gives a flower to his daughter, which is sweet, but like, that's like, you're just mad because like you don't think she's yours, and there's no real like, "Oh, I'm adopted. I don't want my daughter to have that pain." Like, it could have been a single sentence. Like,
yeah.
But you didn't say it. And so it's like, these things are just floating in space, and it's up to us to put them together.
Yeah, that gets back.
Matt Alexander joined us to talk about Goldfinger.
It's weird to be on a show that's not Mike. One of you should pretend to be Mike or something.
What would you like to be known for?
I dread the day that he's never going to invite me to be on one of those shows because I'd ruin it. But if he ever asks me that seriously, I'm gonna absolutely cage up and not be able to answer it.
Oh, so you genuinely don't have an answer, even though you've known that he would potentially ask you about this for years now.
Yeah. It's one of those things that like, it's one of those things where like I'll wake up and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm just like, "Oh my god, what do I like to be known for?" And like I put on like a smoking jacket and pace around my apartment. I'm like, oh god, and it's just like really existential sort of crisis at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking about Mike.
Mike gives you cold sweats in the middle of the night.
Mm. Oh, he does. He does. we don't talk as much as we used to, because he's always on like holidays and things now. He's always in like Italy now that he has a podcasting empire, which is good for him. He needs more sun, and so do I. So I'm happy for him. His network's very fancy now. I went on it today. I've not listened to any of their shows yet. Don't tell him. But I'm very, very proud of him.
Yeah,
I'm in their Slack channel, which is really must be awful for them.
Wait, you haven't listened to anything they've done, but you're in their Slack channel?
Yeah, I'm in the Relay FM Slack, and I think I listened to one of their episodes. I listened to the first episode of Upgrade with Jason Snell, which I thought was very good.
Yes.
And it was weird to hear Mike talking again. And I enjoyed that.
You're just like an honorary member of the board of their podcast network?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'll go to the once or twice recently I've been in their chat room. But I've had my computer on mute, so I haven't heard anything they're actually talking about in the show, and I'm just in the channel just going like butts and like just making fun of the whole thing, but I'm not actually listening to the show. And like Steven will start like sending me a G-talk at the same time, like, please stop. No, but seriously, please stop. And yeah, so I just, you know, I just, they could use a little bit of disruption from time to time.
Can't stop, won't
stop.
Not
in a startup sense, but yeah, exactly. But you know, your show is the only show I listen to.
That baffles me. Why in the world did you listen to our show?
Because I got really into it, because it's very... I hate shows that have, like... I like shows that have a cool hook, and then it's really organic around that. So, like, Defocused, you kind of... you have this... So we had this big talk for a while around Bionic, because we were like, what? What on earth are we doing? And... Because we didn't have any direction, and we had a few ideas that a few people proposed, like friends of the show and stuff, sort of saying, like, why don't you pick like a news thing to talk about or whatever. Obviously, we never did any of that, but that was kind of always the goal, because we'd have a little bit of structure from around which we could joke around and whatever, rather than me just like opening my mail. And
did you ever send any money to the fire department?
No, I didn't. I didn't, and I still haven't sent out the volcano stickers yet either.
Yeah, we know. We bought a couple.
Good. Yeah, no, I owe those. Unless Joe's receiving some right now.
It's just AT&T U-verse. I reached for the first envelope on my desk. There's lots of envelopes on my desk, just for practical comedy effect, and unfortunately it wasn't as exciting as I had hoped.
Yeah, no, I have a bill from my CPA, and that's about it, and I'm not opening that, so... I finished the show, and like we finished Bionic, and Mike and I had like outside the show been talking about like things we liked or whatever, and he had mentioned yours, and I had listened to like one or two, and so like when we did record, we were sort of saying like, hey, if you're like looking for something Bionic-esque, go listen to this thing. And I took my own advice and I went and listened to the show, and I really enjoyed it. And you guys were just like really disproportionately angry about something sometimes, and it's like, it's so great. And so I got really excited about it. And so I've been listening. I'm not all the way caught up. I haven't heard the one with Steven yet, because I don't want to listen to him on anything. So that's a joke idea. I haven't finished. I haven't caught up fully yet, but I will. It's in my whatever they call them podcatcher, which is such a stupid name, but it's there.
Well, you'll like that one, because it's Pirates of Silicon Valley, and we talk about Steve Ballmer, your favorite person, and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and all that.
I've never seen that film.
It's probably not worth the expense on Google Play.
Not so much.
Wait, you have to buy it on Google Play?
That is the only place you can watch it online.
No, then I'm not going to watch it.
No, don't.
No.
You're not missing much.
You can just listen to the episode and then watch the animated GIF of
that. GIF, Steven. Really? Do you say GIF?
Yes.
This podcast is over. That's kind of what I did. I've never seen Dune or whatever, but I said that in such a British way. Dune. But no, I was listening. It's kind of like I'm saying the month of June. So I listened to that one. That's the one you talked about, right? And yeah. I kind of got a really good sense of that one from just listening to you guys.
Well, Dan didn't even watch the whole entire movie, but he was quite unhappy.
I didn't have time. I watched it right before we recorded. Wasn't that the episode we recorded in two pieces because I was too tired and I couldn't make my brain work to have a conversation?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first day was we were supposed to record on Monday, and then it was totally unusable garbage. And I was telling him that.
It wasn't. The first 20 minutes is still in the show, but we just got there, and you're like, what is wrong with you? We need to stop, and we'll do this tomorrow.
Yes, and so that's what we did.
Needs to happen in this film until the end, if you see what I mean. Like the whole plot point is that, you know, Goldfinger is going to try to like irradiate the US's gold supply. If they found that out, they could just like turn up to where he is and arrest him. Instead, they have one British person on American soil, and it's like all these rotating sort of innuendo named flying people, and it's like, why did any of that happen? So you could have just like turned up with like a few people from the police and just sort of turned up and been like, mate, you're not going to be able to set off a bomb here.
And the CIA is even watching him with binoculars going like, well, he's walking around. He must be fine. We'll just, you know, we'll come back later.
Well, because they see that they're looking over the fence, don't they? And they're like, oh yeah, send over Pussy or whatever, and she'll like sit with him and it'll look like he's having a great time or whatever. And then they go hang out at KFC. Which is amazing, because in the Blu-ray version, on my 4K television, you horrible people, it looks like a real place, like right now. And it looks like they just did a really amazing like rebuild of what it looked like in the 1960s.
Well, just to make this clear, you do know that your 4K TV is not showing yes. the 4K version of the
yes.
movie.
Yes, I know. I've listened to your show. I've read all the things.
I thought we were going to save the insults till we were done with the lovely movie.
It wasn't an insult. It was just a factoid.
No, I know. Everything is upscaled, but it looks really good. Yes. And the 4K stuff on like Netflix looks amazing.
How big is it? Do you turn a dial and does it come sliding out of the floor?
Yes, but it actually comes out of the ceiling. Ah. And it's on kind of like a swing. So it's very, it has an element of danger. So it kind of flies out. And if you're not quite ready for it, you could get seriously injured. And then we have a small sort of person we hire that has to catch it because we haven't come up with an effective way for stopping it from hitting the wall on its way down. So anyway, it's very complicated, but it's, you know, it's worth it. We're a very budget version of Goldfinger's place. Everything's kind of on like an old moving dolly sort of thing rather than actually on like a mechanical wheel that turns around.
Well, so, I hope you've bought your helper a bowler hat at least.
No, that would be very, very reductive. I think we actually talked about this. We actually had a character like this on Bionic, didn't we? I think his name was Pablo. I can't remember. God, we were really offensive on that show. Anyway, I like my 4K TV.
And you like KFC?
I haven't had KFC in years.
Please don't.
We have Chick-fil-A, which, you know, I shouldn't go to because they're really horrible people, but it's really delicious at the same time. And so it's kind of one of those trade-offs.
Yeah, it's one of those conundrums. The worst people ever. Very delicious chicken.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not, and you know, for mostly their chicken's not made out of, like, dog. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like, do I want a little bit of dog and not much guilt? Or do I want kind of some guilt and some chicken? And so, you know, it's one of those things. We all come up against it every day. Dog or chicken, you know, it's whatever.
Disclaimer, we do not think that KFC actually uses dog. Defocus does not stand behind the statement.
No. Neat LLC does.
And Jason Snell joined us to talk about High Fidelity.
Phoenix is like, there's like an opportunity cost for moving like anywhere in a car in Phoenix. It's like 30 minutes. Like you get in the car, you're going to drive for at least 30 minutes. It may be much longer than that. I once went to a spring training game in Surprise.
And oh dear.
Which should be the full name of the city is Surprise. It's Los Angeles. It's like, but anyway, it's like my sister used to live here and she just moved to Ohio, but when she lived here, she'd say, oh, this place is just around the corner, and it would literally be like 45 minutes to just around the corner. That was because, again, once you live here for a while, I think you just internalize, like, it's going to be at least half an hour to get anywhere. So it's like, oh, that's only 40 minutes away. That's like 10 minutes, because the 30 minutes is just assumed. Anyway, yeah, yes, the desert. It's a weird place.
I've lamented many times that I am minimum 3 miles from the nearest gas station, and I'm in technically Phoenix proper, which is just ridiculous. But that's weird. I did the opposite thing. Our family came from Ohio to Phoenix, so I guess it's all the same thing.
Well, and of course, where my mom lives, that's mostly retirees in this part of the complex, and so they're all like Canadian and from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then mostly Canada. So it's all people who just are fleeing the cold.
I don't want to project my own biases, but I kind of think all of Phoenix is a retirement community. But that's just, you know, maybe that's just where I live. But I was going to bring up where you live because Mill Valley. I've been in that general vicinity. I had a sandwich at a place that was kind of like a gas station down by the water, and it was pretty good.
That's an exciting story, Dan.
I got lost over there one time, and Yelp directed me to a little sandwich shop that was kind of a convenience store.
Yeah, sure. Sure, that was probably at Tam Junction, which is Mill Valley's really a cool city. I never intended to live in Marin County even, but my wife got a job there, and so we moved there. And the funny thing, most of the towns in Marin, and this is actually true for a lot of places in the West Coast, especially where there used to be just roads connecting cities, and then one day they decided they were going to make freeways, which is great. You know, you got to have the freeways. LA would literally just collapse if there were not freeways. But in some of these places, many of them, the freeway was built like on what used to be the main road. And so now there's just a giant freeway that bisects these towns. And like to get from one side to another, you've only got like three places where that you can go under the freeway. And the cool thing about Mill Valley is that because it was a lumber town built at the foot of Mount Tamalpais, it's way the hell back in this canyon in the Mill Valley where the sawmill was, and the valley, and that's the name of the town. As a result, the highway is nowhere near it, which is kind of cool because although it's kind of inconvenient to live all the way back there, we live out by the freeway. It's also the town is still the town because it didn't get like wrecked by the building of the freeways. It's sort of untouched. And as a result, it's this cute little small town, whereas a lot of the other towns in Marin especially, but really all over California, ended up getting, like, if you've ever been to some place like Manteca, I mean, that place was never the greatest town out in the valley, but it's been like drawn and quartered by freeways now, and you just forget it. It's just a bunch of boxes by a freeway, and that happens too. So Mill Valley avoided that fate, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize how big the logging industry was up there. We went to a wedding not too long ago, like 2 hours north of you in Ukiah or whatever, however it's pronounced. It's another cool little small town in the middle of a bunch of trees. And I like trees since I live in the desert and I don't get to see them very often.
Yeah, that was the whole idea of the Golden Gate Bridge, actually, originally, was it was going to speed the not only was that good for commuters and turn Marin County into a suburb of San Francisco, but it was also, you know, speeding the delivery of logs from the North Coast to San Francisco and parts below by just coming straight on down the coast there. So, yeah, it's true. That was lumber was a big deal. And in fact, a lot of that was one of the things that happened in Mill Valley is that the lumber would get there and then be carved up and sawed up or whatever they do with, I don't know. Probably not carved. That's probably not making totem poles. They were sawing it at the sawmill into like boards that then they would use to construct houses all throughout Northern California.
I like to imagine that there's like a small tributary system where you guys can cut logs in half and kind of ride them like gondolas when you go from place to place. You know, just pop on down to the store riding on a log.
I think it's a flume ride.
Did I get like booked on an NPR podcast by mistake? Is this 99% invisible? What are we? What? This is not what I expected.
No, but I bet Mill Valley probably still has a record store, right?
Because this is a story. This is a story about a bunch of boys, basically men who are boys who are very enthusiastic about things, which I really like. They love music and they have arguments about what the best, you know, all time track one, side one, you know, songs are and things like that. But they also basically haven't grown up, and that I like that this is John Cusack as Rob is stumbling and fumbling and trying to, you know, find his way toward realizing why he behaves the way he does with women. And I think that's really interesting too. And I do feel like through the movie, there's some good moments of self-realization that I think a lot of men never get to that point. So I like that part of it too. So it's not like I would probably not put it in my all-time top five, but I do like it a lot. So I thought it would be an interesting one because I don't hear people talking about it a lot, and I think there are a lot of things to commend it.
Okay, and when you say top five, would this be your top five of movies that have top five lists in it?
Oh, it would be in my top five of movies with top five lists. In fact, I think it would be number one in my list of movies with top five. Also, this movie contains the funniest Beethoven-related joke that I've ever heard, which is literally just, why don't you make the most boring all-time top five, track one, side one of all time, just put Beethoven on it. Da-da-da-da. I love that. That's it.
That was nice, Dan. All those people seem nice. The people also voted for their favorite show. I'm not sure how anyone could pick a favorite, though.
Why is that? You don't like the episodes?
No, it's just that nothing is beyond criticism, especially entertainment.
People can still like things.
The ones that like things don't know the true ugliness of reality, the pain of the artist's damaged psyche.
Okay, so what's your favorite episode?
I thought you'd never ask. I love Cats Per Mango. Let's see if anyone in the audience guessed correctly.
And the nominees are Episode 21, Cats Per Mango.
Episode 19, Worth Your Tablescapes.
Episode 14, The Penultimate Pen.
Episode 15, Chekhov's Law of Omega 13s.
And the winner is
Cats Per Mango.
What was that thing we were just reading about how podcasting has a better bang for its buck in terms of the cost to produce an episode versus the cost for advertising, and you know, the editing is pretty minimal in most cases?
Well, I think it was CPMs. As I said to you, if my math is correct, we need like 5 or 6 more CPMs, and then we'll be set. This will just take care of itself.
That's CPM is cats per
mango.
Meter squared. Mango.
Yes, cats per mango. It's
a
little
known fact.
I don't
think cats like to share mangoes.
Yeah, they don't like to share mangoes. So what you wind up with is basically one cat per mango, unless you get some really good cats. And so it's all about herding the cats to the best mango ratio you can get for the CPM.
I got nothing on that.
I don't have anything on that either. I don't know where I went with that one. let's pull on back from whatever that was.
Joe and I both thank you all for this wonderful evening at this magnificent, comfy venue. And we'd like to say a special thanks to our nomination committee. David Fuchs.
Kyle Seth Gray.
Carl T. Holscher.
Brian Hamilton.
Isaac McCauley.
Jason Ziegler.
And a boy named Boom.
Drive safely, and we'll see you next year.
You mean next week?
No spoilers, Dan. They don't know that.
Thank you very much. Mommy, can I go home now?